This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, humanitarian operations continue in the Lake Chad Basin in the face of ongoing extremist violence. And the new chief of the UN peacekeeping mission in Darfur pledges to work flat out to bring peace to Sudan's most troubled region. But first, drought and crop failure, unseasonal rainfall and flooding. Just some of the conditions brought on by the current El Niño phenomenon. The weather pattern, which is caused by changing interaction between oceanic and atmospheric dynamics, has been felt across the planet, prompting one senior UN official to warn that the world was moving into uncharted territory, and Africa's been bearing the brunt of it. UN agencies and donor countries have been meeting in New York to try and mitigate its impacts and prevent yet more damage and destruction. Daniel Dickinson reports.
So far, Ethiopia has been the country most affected by El Niño, according to the United Nations. It's been hit by the worst drought in 30 years, with more than 10 million people requiring emergency food assistance. Ahuna Ezeakonwa Onochie is the UN resident coordinator in Ethiopia.
We do project with government that about 435,000 children are facing severe acute malnutrition, and another 1.7 million face moderate acute malnutrition. Response will cost $1.4 billion, and we haven't even measured the longer-term impact on the country's development journey.
Drought conditions in southern Africa mean nearly 40 million people are already having trouble accessing food. The acting UN emergency coordinator in Lesotho, Christy Ahenkora, said there could be other longer-term effects. She fears for citizens who are HIV positive and taking life-saving antiretroviral treatment. The country has the world's second highest prevalence rate for HIV amongst adults, according to a 2012 UNAIDS report.
If they do not have enough nutrition, then of course that could jeopardize the country's already bad situation in terms of HIV/AIDS.
The meeting in New York was a collective call to save lives, prevent economic losses and stop millions worldwide from falling into poverty. Stephen O'Brien heads the UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office, OCHA.
The strength of the current El Niño has put our world into uncharted territory. El Niño itself is not caused by climate change, but the fact that it is taking place in a changed climate means that its impacts are less predictable and could be more severe.
The UN humanitarian chief highlighted the importance of early collective action to address the myriad challenges. He said El Niño tests the international community's commitment to joint action.
Are we able to forge the partnerships necessary to focus development efforts on the most vulnerable? Can we work together to build the resilience of people and communities and prevent them from falling into humanitarian need? If we are to save lives and reduce suffering, of course we must answer yes to all of these questions.
Stephen O'Brien, Under-Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs. In May this year, the first ever World Humanitarian Summit will take place in Turkey. El Niño is likely to be one of the topics of discussion. Daniel Dickinson, United Nations.
Humanitarian operations continue in the Lake Chad Basin region in Africa, where the terrorist group Boko Haram has forced millions to flee their homes. The situation is the fastest growing displacement crisis on the continent, according to the United Nations, which on Tuesday allocated more than $30 million to support partners working in Nigeria, Cameroon, Chad and Niger. The UN Humanitarian Affairs Office, OCHA, estimates that 2.7 million people, most of them children, have been affected. Assumpta Massoi has been talking to OCHA spokesperson Jens Lerke, who's based in Geneva.
The humanitarian situation around Lake Chad is bad and it is getting worse. We are talking about what we consider the fastest growing displacement crisis in Africa. It's triggered by the violence and the disturbances created by the Boko Haram movement. What we have done now is that we have released $31 million US dollars to the four countries in the region, so that is Nigeria, it's Cameroon, Chad and Niger, so that they can beef up their programs in support of the thousands of people who are affected by this violence, who are displaced and who are in urgent need of assistance.
Now, given such situation, how does this latest financial support expected to alleviate the situation?
What we know is that people are in urgent need of food, drinking water, shelter, health care, education. But first and foremost, they need protection from what is going on. We also know that more than half of those who are affected, and that's an estimated 2.7 million people, more than half of them are children. So there are basic needs, but I would say a lot of it is focused on needs for children. We know that Boko Haram has abducted children. They have forced them into labor, sexual slavery, and other horrific things being done to children. So those children, they need all the protection that they can get. If they are displaced, for example, they also need to get the education that they're entitled to in the area of their displacement.
And maybe looking ahead, what do you think the international community should do to support the region? Because now, days in, days out, things are getting worse and worse.
That is true. I think there are several initiatives on the political front to work with the Nigerian government and with other governments in the region. That is one track of an international response. The track that we are focusing on is, of course, to help the people who are in need right now. They need the help now. They cannot wait until there is a political or negotiated solution to the crisis. Obviously, they need the help today. It's their lives and their welfare, which is at stake.
The new head of the Hybrid African Union United Nations peacekeeping mission in Darfur, known as UNAMID, has said he'll work hard to bring peace back to Sudan's most volatile region. Martin Umobi arrived at the operations headquarters in El Fasher, North Darfur, this week. As joint special representative, the Nigerian diplomat takes the helm of the second largest UN peacekeeping mission in the world. UNAMID's 25,000-strong force works to protect millions of people displaced as a result of civil war more than a decade ago. Jumbe Omari Jumbe reports.
UNAMID staff and the military participated in elaborate and colourful celebrations to welcome their new chief, Martin Umobi. On his arrival Monday in this desert-surrounded capital of North Darfur, the new head of the hybrid AU-UN peacekeeping mission, UNAMID, said AU and UN harbour good intentions to assist the parties to the conflict in Darfur to reach a peaceful solution. Mr. Umobi did not waste much time to get into the core business. He headed straight to the residence of the governor of North Darfur. There, he thanked the governor and the government for the support given to UNAMID.
And today I'm arriving El Fasher for the first time, and I thought the first place to begin is to visit the palace of the Wali of North Darfur. The purpose of this visit is to come and pay homage to the Wali and tell him I'm here and thank him for the very robust support he has always given to the United Nations mission here.
On his part, the Deputy Governor of North Darfur, Adam El Nahla, welcomed the new JSR and assured him of his government's continued support and collaboration. He further said the security situation in Darfur is improving daily, and as such, he hoped the new JSR's work would be a straightforward undertaking.
We welcome the brother, the representative. We have been collaborating with UNAMID since 2007, when the mission arrived. Even though the situation has greatly improved, making his mission easier, we will continue collaborating with UNAMID for the benefit of this country and its people.
The new joint representative will be heading one of the most challenging missions in the world, a rebellion that sprang up in 2003 on the backdrop of grievances of regional and racial marginalization is still continuing unabated. 2.1 million Darfuris are living in more than 80 camps for the internally displaced people, IDPs. They mainly rely on international relief aid. From El Fasher, North Darfur, this is Jumbe Omari Jumbe for the United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.